Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you may be. My name is Brian Martinez, and I am here on behalf of Honey Badger Radio, hosting the Fireside Chat, as I am apt to do. My special guest is Justin Trottier. Justin is the CEO of the Canadian Association for Equality, also the executive director of the Canadian Centre for Men and Families. Is there any other titles that I may have missed?
No, just those two.
Okay. All right. So we are here. We're going to be discussing the latest that CAFE is up to. But before we do that, I wanted to catch up with you a little bit. Last time you were on, back in November of 2017, we were talking about your drive to open the first domestic violence shelter for men in Toronto, or at least domestic violence shelter that was open to men in Toronto. So what's the latest? How's that been going? Any great news?
Yeah, well, thanks again for having us on to discuss that initiative back in the fall. We were successful, so I'm very pleased to report that we were able to really more than achieve the goal we had set for ourselves, which was to raise $50,000, which means that we were then able to match that against another $50,000. We also had some grants that came in, some pretty major sponsorships that we were also successful with. So when you tally it all up, we raised $250,000 entering 2018. So we're in a very, very good position. And what we've said is that that is enough for us to commit to opening the first shelter in Toronto for abused fathers and their children. However, that is still a modest amount, and it is very small compared to the amounts that shelters for abused women are able to access. So we are going to be going to government, and we're going to be asking them to come on board as a significant sponsor as well. But we're kind of in a transition right now before we actually go to government, because governments in Ontario have never sponsored anything like a shelter for abused men. We think it's really important to have partners, community partners and endorsers. And so we've actually been spending the last few months in meetings and making pitches to a number of really important established anti-abuse organizations, or actually women's shelters also we've been meeting with. And we think it's very helpful if we can actually have buy-in from the community of shelters and the community of support agencies that support victims of abuse. Then when we go into government, it's not only our organization, but it's a coalition of organizations, some of which have been pioneers in this area for many decades. So that's sort of the strategic thinking. Also, practically speaking, we need those partnerships. Operating a shelter is not something we've done before. It's a very complicated project. We need the knowledge, the know-how, even the guidance on operations from those who already operate similar facilities. So that's the state of where we're at right now. It's going very well. We've got some pretty high-profile organizations that are either on board or considering getting on board as partners. And then in the second half of the year is when we'll go back to fundraising, but this time more looking at public funds from government and some other foundations. And then by the end of the year, we will be looking at sites. And again, just to reiterate, one way or the other, we're opening a facility, but it's a question of the size, the scale, the actual services that we can provide. We can do a lot more and support a lot more families if we've got more funds. So we'll just have to kind of wait and see how much we can accumulate by the end of 2018. But it's a really exciting time. We know we're going to open something. It's just a matter of what we're going to be able to do in that space.
Wow, this sounds great. And I think you think it's pretty promising in terms of, you know, the help that you could get, how your pitches are going with the state and that kind of thing. You think it's looking pretty bright?
Yeah, I mean, we have some really remarkable women, in fact, pioneers of the women's shelter movement. I'm thinking of one in Alberta, one in Ontario, who we've known for some time. These are not people that, you know, just cold called. We've had conferences that we've sponsored, each other's conferences, or we've been invited to each other's organizations to run webinars. So all of this networking that we've been doing for the last few years as the Center for Men and Families, we're now sort of tapping into the relationships we've built to bring these people on board as partners for what is our most ambitious project to date. So I'm feeling really good about it. Having said that, I don't want to sound overly confident. We have the executive directors of these women's shelters who like what we're doing. They want to support it. but they have a board of directors that they answer to. So they've got to go to that board. They've got to sort of sell them on signing on as partners, and you know, anything can happen. So we're kind of making the best, strongest pitch we can make. We've got 4 years now of providing quality programs in the community. So these agencies know that we have actually followed through on the promises we've made in the past about providing services to abused men and families. So I think we're in a really good position, mm-hmm. but we'll just have to wait and see what the response is.
All right. So that's great. And it also looks like you guys have something else coming up. That's what we are doing the show on. So there's this upcoming conference, and it's being hosted by CAFE. So can you tell us about this upcoming CAFE conference? Where is it? When? And I'm going to display the website here on the screen for people that are watching. Tell us a little bit about the CAFE conference.
Yeah, thank you. So this will be our second annual national conference. We operate a national organization. We've got 10 branches across Canada. And what we've done is we move our conferences around. So a different branch hosts the conference each year. The first sort of pilot project, if you will, the first conference of this kind was in Ottawa a couple of years ago, or late 2016, I guess it was. And now we're bringing it to the Western Canada with a conference in Calgary, which is being hosted by CAFE Calgary with a lot of support from our Edmonton branch as well. So we're bringing in speakers from across the province and also across Canada. Our keynote address is going to be from Mara Gruneau, and Mara is the executive director of the Center for Suicide Prevention. So she is really a champion when it comes to raising awareness of mental health and suicide in particular, mm-hmm. and adopting strategies for reducing instances of suicide, this tragedy which we know affects all people. But the statistics show that men are 3 to 4 times more likely to end their lives by suicide. So it's definitely a men's issue. And that's why we decided to invite Mara Gruneau to be the keynote. The conference topic this year is really focusing on mental health and services to address gaps in men's health and health relating to fathers and their families. So Mara is the keynote, but all of the speakers, or most of the speakers, are related to that theme.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And I was just going to say, in case you guys are unaware, Karen is going to be there. She is the master of ceremonies, right? So you guys managed to rope in a Karen, but she is by far not the only important speaker. I see that aside from Maria Gruneau, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Aside from Maria Gruneau, there's also David Shackleton is going to be there. He's the branch director for the Canadian Center for Men and Families. Is he going to be speaking as well?
Yeah. So David directs our Ottawa branch, but he's also an author, and he just released a book called Daughters of Feminism. And so what that is it's a compilation, an anthology of stories by women who sort of grew up in sort of the feminist tradition. Maybe their parents were feminists. Maybe they were sort of came to a feminist perspective in their schooling. But what's they have in common, these women, is that all of them are now involved in the cause of gender equality, and in particular, they're advocates for the issues of boys, men, and fathers. So sure. They're interested in bringing boys and men into gender equality, as of course is CAFE. So David has sort of compiled these stories, edited these stories, put them together into Daughters of Feminism, mm-hmm. and the book was just released in the last month. So he'll be talking a little bit about that, and then how those stories relate to the theme of men's health and how to address gaps and issues relating to men's health.
All right, and there's also going to be a Dr. Terry Singh, a registered psychologist, expert in family counseling, divorce and separation. Christine Hart, expert in relationship communications. That sounds kind of interesting. And Dr. Gans Ferrantz, registered psychologist, TV and radio personality, expert in family psychology and men's counseling. And Allison's also going to be there, guys, but she's not part of the event. She's just going to be there as a guest. So what else is there going on here? I see you also have a panel discussion. That's the theme you were talking about, the unique challenges of providing services for men and boys, yep. Right? And there's lots of great characters there. And I also have a super chat. Someone asked a question. Xerox gave us $5 and says, do you have a sense of how people are leaning regarding the shelter? For or against? Do people appear more open-minded to the idea?
Oh, universally, the response has been very positive. This is something that I've found really interesting. It's that there, over the last few years, as CAFE, which emerged largely as a public education organization, putting on events on campuses and in other venues that were really talking about the problems affecting boys and men. When we were focused almost exclusively on the problems, people sort of had this perception that we were just complaining and not really part of the solution. But since we opened the Center for Men and Families, and we still talk about the problems, of course, but we also are seen as a resource to provide solutions to people, whether it's directly, you know, we provide therapy, we provide support groups, we provide a legal clinic, which is staffed by lawyers. So there's a concrete sense that we provide solutions to people who need them. But we're also now part of this larger coalition of agencies that are actually putting forward positive and inclusive public policies. That's also part of the solution. So the public perception of our work has really radically shifted, and there's much more of an acceptance of what we're doing. I think in part because we're not only complaining, we're not only pointing out the problems, we're also working, I think quite effectively at trying to address them. And similarly with the shelter, we're not only complaining that men are victims of domestic abuse and look, nobody's doing anything about it. Well, we're actually leading by example. We're doing something about it, something mm-hmm. very concrete. And we're not the only organization that is talking about the need to open shelters. Our leadership is actually sparking these sorts of conversations among other agencies that understand that if we can do it, well, maybe there's a need for these shelters in other places in North America in particular. So I think what we're doing is, I would hope, it's pioneering a path that other people might follow. And as a result, I think the perception has become quite positive. And the idea, the strategic sense of building partnerships in Toronto in order to acquire government funding to open the shelter in Toronto. Part of why we're doing that is to plant the seed in the minds of these other agencies that a shelter for men and families, that the time for that has really come.
All right. That's excellent. So there you go. You got your answer. I think you guys are definitely pioneering, going into new territory. And I'm very excited to see where it goes. Let's talk a little bit more about this event. I see that you have special rates for CAFE members. Tell us a little bit about CAFE membership. How does that work?
We offer a membership program. The idea there is to, I guess the strategic thinking behind that is there's strength in numbers, right? So being able to call on a larger group of members is quite effective when we're mobilizing around a policy agenda.
Sure.
It certainly helps us to make our case to policymakers that we speak for a larger community. So that's why we originally devised a membership program, but there's also practical benefits for members. So discounts to events, behind the scenes tours of new facilities, shelters, centers, et cetera. So there's different perks and incentives to membership. But I think one of the biggest ones is when we have our annual conference, we do provide member rates. So we encourage members to take advantage of that. So yeah, this event, like all of our conferences, there's a membership rate. There's also an early bird rate, which we keep extending because we want to make it as affordable for people to attend this as possible.
Yeah, sure.
Make it an elite event where only, wealthy people can attend. So there are low income tickets as well. We don't want cost to be a barrier. So if people want to attend, but they're a little bit concerned about the cost to register or the cost of travel, they can certainly reach out to us and we can discuss some options.
And so it's just a one day thing on Saturday, June 9th. And it looks like it's a full, about 8.5 hours long event, though. So it's almost like a mini ICMI in many ways. And that's great. And it's again, for those of you guys who are listening or just now joining us, I'm talking about the Canadian Association for Equality's 2018 National Conference, which will be in Calgary, Alberta. Calgary, Alberta that's Allison grew up there. That's in the prairies, and it's really nice. I've been there a few times myself. I like going to Calgary in the summer because it's not as balls hot as it is here in Chicago. It's really hot right now. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And they do have student rates as well. So if you're interested in going, I think that it'd be a great idea. Of course, if you want to talk to some of the folks that are going to be there. Justin, I assume you're going to be there too, right?
I won't be there in person. I do hope to join remotely. I'm actually, my wife and I are expecting our first child at the end of June,
Oh.
which is obviously very, well, it's overwhelming and exciting at the same time. But it also will keep me in Toronto during the month of June. So just sort of by coincidence of timing, I won't be able to make it. But I was at the one in Ottawa, and I spoke at that one. And I can tell you that if it's anything like that, it's going to be a very exciting event. I'm sort of sorry to miss it, and in a way not sorry, because it's going to be an exciting month for me personally.
Sure.
But I hope, many of you listening will be able to make it out, because it's a unique event. It's the first time we're doing anything like this in Alberta. And I should also say, doing it's not by coincidence that this year we're doing it in Alberta. We are shifting our national fundraising focus to the prairies this year and next year as we gear up to open new centers in Alberta. And Calgary will be the next site for the Center for Men and Families. We have one in Toronto and Ottawa. We do have a part-time center in Calgary. Through a relationship we built with a psychology clinic, we're able to operate programs there on the weekends. But we do want to open a full-time center in Calgary. That will be the next city where we will bring a center. And so
Really?
the idea of having our national conference there this year is to really spotlight Alberta and the need for men's services in the prairie provinces in general. If you're there this year at the conference, you will be a part of sort of laying the groundwork for the emergence of these centers in the Alberta in the province of Alberta. So it's an exciting time, I think, for Canadians in the prairie provinces as we gear up for some big developments in the next year.
That's great. That's amazing. I'm really glad so that we are making some progress and some headway with this. This is vital stuff. So if you guys can, I'm going to display the website again so you can see it. I'm going to show you. This is it's on Eventbrite. I put a link in the low bar, and it is again the Canadian Association for Equality's 2018 National Conference. Karen's going to be there. Some experts in the field are going to be there. Allison's going to be there as a just come say hello. The tickets are pretty affordable. They're still doing the early bird. They are good. They're $80. Do you guys have an idea of when you're going to have to cut that off, or so we get an idea of when the early bird rates end?
I'm not sure. Our goal with the conference is not to make money. It's to get as many
Yeah.
people there as we can. So as long as we're not, going to in debt ourselves by putting on the event, we're not going to just arbitrarily raise the prices if we think it's going to be a barrier. So as I said earlier, if we have kept the prices really low, they're only $80, and there's a low income option as well. But if that's still a barrier, or travel costs, accommodation costs is a barrier, we would encourage people to reach out to us. That we have some sponsors who are helping us subsidize travel. So for low-income people, and especially for students, if they can't get there because of the cost, there are options that are made available because of these generous sponsors. So people should definitely reach out to us now.
Okay, cool. And if they wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way to do so for that?
I think the contact's on the Eventbrite page, but it would be info@equalitycanada.com.
Okay. Info at event equalitycanada.com. I'm sorry, info@equalitycanada.com. Yes, the information is here. I just happened to miss it. And there's also, I put the for people who are, you know, want to reach you guys in other ways, the Twitter is there, as well as the actual website, equalitycanada.com. So you guys can follow up on that. I also have another super chat I'm going to read out. Someone sent. It's not a question, but sup Doge. Also, Justin, you look like you have nice socks. I'm sure that you do. And and also congratulations on the new family member. What do you guys know if you got a boy or a girl, or are you the type to wait until?
We're expecting a daughter. We've known for a few months now.
Oh, congratulations on that. That's very exciting. And I think that if anybody's going to be, you know, qualified to have a really healthy family, it'd be somebody who works in with the interests of family. So I'm sure that she's going to have a great experience, a great life. So that's really great. Is there any other questions or any other information that we should know? Because I'm actually kind of out of questions. I guess there's more. I could ask you more about the speakers, and you can tell us a little bit more about some of them, unless there's something that I should have asked. So I didn't get into, for example, Dr. Terry Singh or Christine Hart or Gans Ferrance. I don't know how to say that name. but yeah, so is there any other additional things that we should know?
The key thing I want to mention is that this conference is really true to form for CAFE. We've always try to connect the dots between all the different issues that affect boys, men, and fathers, make the point that they relate to one another in really interesting and complicated ways, whether it's fatherhood and family breakup issues, and then, you know, preserving a strong, loving, healthy father-child bond in that context, whether it's domestic abuse and trauma, which relates to the shelter we're opening and has become a really a big part of our agenda going forward, whether it's mental health, suicide prevention. They all relate to one another. You know, for example, a family breakup causes a lot of stress and anxiety. And we know that men are more likely in a minority of cases, thankfully, to harm themselves, sometimes even to harm others as a result of the stresses that impinge on them. Let's say in a family breakup context or in other stressors in their lives. And so by focusing on mental health and social services and having panels that really bring together a who's who of experts and social service providers across Alberta and across Canada, bringing them together in a common conference, even on a common panel, I think we're going to have some really interesting synergies in terms of the discussions that we can expect. So I mentioned Mara Gruneau, who does suicide prevention. We also have the woman, bringing up her name here, Christine Berry. She's the director of Family Violence Prevention Initiatives at the Calgary Counseling Center. Alberta is also unique in that they have uniquely among Canadian provinces, they actually involve violence against men initiatives and services within the government of Alberta strategy around domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And so in Calgary, at the Counseling Center, they actually have a support group and counseling for male victims of domestic violence supported by government funding, pretty unique in Canada. So she's going to be part of the conversation. But anyway, my point is that there's going to be some really, I think, interesting interactions and synergies by bringing together people from these seemingly different aspects of support, social services, mental health, and putting them together and getting some dialogue going, but all with a unique focus on men and how we can do a better job at addressing the issues of boys and men. So I think we're going to be in for some really exciting conversations, and I hope many of you will be to experience that on June 9th.
That is great. You know what? I just thought of something. Are you guys planning on maybe recording it, broadcasting it, streaming it, or anything like that?
We will do that as much as we can. We do. We're talking with the speakers, you know, just to make sure that they are consenting to that. But where we can, we will do that. We will probably not make it available for some time, though. We really want to encourage people to come out to these events, because I think you get more out of it if you are there in person, if you can ask questions, if you can, you know, tap speakers on the shoulder outside of the actual talks, because the speakers will be there all day for the most part. So we definitely want to incentivize people to come out. But having said that, as much as we can, we will record the events and make them available at some future time on our website.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And, oh, I had another great question and it's gone now. There was, oh, yeah. Tell us about the space where you're actually going to be, like the in Calgary.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool theater, Cardell. I've been to the theater a couple of times. In fact, we screened The Red Pill at Cardell Theater back, I guess it was a year and a half ago or so now. And it was a packed house. It was a beautiful theater. One of the few venues, actually, that has been very supportive. You'll recall that some other theaters, when we did the Red Pill screenings, you know, sort of abruptly, you know, took our licensing away from us at the last minute. We had to scramble and find alternative venues. Mm-hmm. I think Cardell might have been one of those alternative venues that we moved into because we were, I remember now. Yeah, we were supposed to screen it at the University of Calgary. We weren't able to do that. We moved to Cardell. Cardell was very supportive. So we liked doing our events there because it's a really, it's a mutually beneficial relationship that we have with this venue. So, you know, come out, support Cafe, support Cardell. We got to work together with those venues that are willing to go to bat for us. And it's a very beautiful space as well. So I think it's going to be a great home for this conference.
All right. That's great. I got nothing else. I think we're good. Are you satisfied?
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this event. And I hope many of you will take advantage of the opportunity for this event to be in Alberta. It's probably going to come back to Eastern Canada next year. Mm-hmm. So if you're watching this from Western Canada, please come out and join us on June 9th.
Yes, it looks like it's going to be exciting. And again, like I said, a couple of the Badgers are going to be there as well. So I think, I don't know what Allison has planned. She just told me to say that she's going to be there, but she's always up to something. So you should definitely be on the lookout for that. And again, I just want to thank you, Justin, for coming on and telling us about this. And also for all the work you guys are doing in the real world. I think that it's really amazing. And it fills me with hope to see that there's actually, you know, some productive things going on that are addressing the issues facing men, fathers, and boys. And, I just want to thank you for that, honestly. So I hope that America, the United States, and the rest of the world can sort of try to play catch up. That would be great.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a privilege to be part of this cause, and I think we're doing some good work. And yeah, it keeps me going. So thanks for having me on to discuss it.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. And I want to thank you guys for joining us on this fireside chat. And I want to thank Red Moon and Xeranx for giving us those super chats with the, you know, those donations. Every little bit helps. So, and with that said, again, I put all the information in the low bar. Anything that you want to support, if you want to check out Canadian Association for Equality, follow them on Twitter at Equality Canada. And try to get out to the event. I think it'll be a good time. I'd like to go myself, so maybe I'll work something out with Allison. I don't know. Otherwise, this has been Honey Badger Radio's Fireside Chat. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you guys next time.